What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Another loaded show in store for you, and we're excited about that. Alan Bell in the on-deck circle in about 15 minutes. We'll talk all things betting and NFL with Alan, so we're looking forward to that discussion here very, very soon. We'll react to last night's game. We've got our top 10, Mike Florio. From NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk, will join us at high noon today. And then after him, we will unveil our top 10. We're going to do this every week. We did it last week for the first time. And there has been a shift. There's been a shift in my top 10. We'll see if there's been a shift in Willie's top 10. And we're going on the premise again this week, because nothing changed, that the Steelers and the Chiefs are the two best teams in football, in no particular order, and going from there, going 3 through 10. So we'll see what they look like a week later. That is the beauty of the NFL. A week later, so much changes. And last night, I had the Rams 7th last week on my list. They beat the Bucks, who I had 4th on my list. I don't think the following week you can have Tampa higher than L.A. That's just how I look at it. But nonetheless, an interesting game. Tom Brady, when you watch him this year, Willie, the Tampa Bay Bucks look like a really good team. Obviously, they're loaded on offense. I think he's got an incredible task of trying to keep everybody happy, which I don't know how you really do. They've got a really good defense. So when they're hitting on all cylinders and Brady looks like Brady, man, they look like an impossible team to stop. But he also has his games this year when he looks like he's a 43-year-old quarterback in the NFL, and last night was one of those. And I do wonder, when they play a physical, defensive-minded team or a team that will get after him in the playoffs, will he struggle? Will he look like last night? It was very clear the Rams were disrupting Tom Brady's flow. His two interceptions were really, really bad throws.
I would agree. I think you've hit on it. And there aren't that many. This is the good news for the Buccaneers. There aren't that many great defensive teams out there. But the teams that have hurt the Bucs are the ones that can really put the heat on Brady. If you can pressure him, then he can't move. I mean, we know that. That's normal for a guy his age. If you give him time with the weapons he has, he can still pick you apart, even though he doesn't have the cannon anymore. But he's just so smart, and he's got the good targets. He knows where to go with the ball. But if you can disrupt him, he will make mistakes. So it's that was an impressive performance by the Rams last night for sure. Their defensive front is pretty nasty.
Well, we know they've got the best defensive player in football. So we know that. So he is this guy is – I think right now if he walked away after this season, he'd probably be first ballot Hall of Fame. He's just that good, and he's not going to. I mean, this guy is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is so incredibly disruptive and has been doing that for many, many, many years. And when you watch Aaron Donald, it's just, gosh, he is just everywhere. You cannot avoid. You have to be watching what he's doing. What is he, 99? What 99 is doing at all times on the field, because he is everywhere. And then you got a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who back in the secondary is going to be a physical, loud, you know, and shut down corner in the NFL. So they've got two really important pieces, a guy up front who can get pressure on the quarterback and the guy on the back end that can hold things down there. So, hey, I know it takes more than two guys, but when you've got two guys that good on the defensive side of the ball, you don't have to be outstanding, even though Jared Goff, I thought, was really good last night. Jared Goff is not an elite quarterback, but he's got an elite coach, an offensive mind helping him. They're good enough where the Rams, I think, as we'll talk about in the third hour of the program, I think the Rams have the ingredients to make a, you know, to make a solid run again in the NFC.
Well, if you look at the NFC right now, we almost know who the six teams are going to be. It's there's almost no competition.
Yeah, they're starting to pull away.
When they put that thing in the hunt, in the right-hand column, when you're watching a game and they show you the standings, the team's in the hunt. It's laughable. There's nobody
right.
in the hunt.
No.
You know, it's, especially with Chicago going completely in the wrong direction, it looks like there's no chance that they could, you know, get hot. I'd be really surprised. That just there's too many limitations for them. You know, they might beat the Lions, but if you look, like, who's going to challenge the Packers? So we were wondering about the NFC West, but indeed, I think there's no doubt that there's going to be three teams that make it from that division. You know, we know what the deal is with the NFC East. Like, there's going to be one team there. It's going to be a bad team. They'll be the lowest seed among the division winners. So it looks like there are seven clear-cut teams out of the NFC, and that's it.
Yeah.
The AFC is a totally different picture.
Totally different animal. Totally different animal. You got a whole lot of teams that are bubble teams right now that once again, we're going to play this game every week. I mean, I can already tell you that, you know, a couple teams that were not in my top 10 are in my top 10 this week. So that's how quick, and they're both AFC teams. That's how quickly things can change. And by the way, it can change for the worse, right? You can be there, and then you can lose another. It's like the Ravens. If they lose again on Thursday, I mean, look at Baltimore was in my top 10 last week, and, you know, two consecutive losses, and look how far they drop. Although, you know, as you said yesterday, their schedule will lighten up, and then they'll get back into it again, right? Then they'll be right back in the hunt again because they'll probably get on a streak after Thursday night. And I'm not saying they can't beat Pittsburgh. They can. It's going to be tough. But you know, in that rivalry, it's like any rivalry game, right? I mean, the Ravens and Steelers is a nasty, nasty rivalry. You know, usually those games are always separated by a field goal. You know that anything can happen. So, I mean, I'm not discounting the Ravens. They've got issues. Now they've got COVID issues. And so that's going to impede them even more. But it doesn't mean like they can't win this game. I'm not saying that they are, but I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if they won the game. But more, you know, probably they're going to lose. But after that, it's going to lighten up and they could easily get on a roll. And we'll be talking about Baltimore again. I don't think they're going to go away. It'd be nice if they did.
Oh, I don't think anybody would mind not having to play them in the playoffs. That's for certain. Although there are other teams that look like they'd be very worthy. It's not like somebody's going to sneak in at 7-9 in the AFC. That's not happening. But so you and I have you're a little more week to week, live in the moment. I'm a little more. I'm putting in context where we are in the journey. I'm still thinking who are the best teams, even if a team might be struggling a little bit. The Ravens really. I mean, getting hit with, you know, the two running backs and the COVID, can't practice. You play Thursday. Man, what a setup. Challenges you have playing the Steelers. I mean, that's, of course, as we've learned, that's not a given for anything. As we mentioned, we never thought that the Titans would be able to trounce the Bills the way they did, so anything can happen. But man, the Ravens are facing a lot heading into that game. But as you said, it gets considerably easier for them, and you would think they'd start getting some bodies back after that. But yeah, they're hurting right now. But where they are now is I mean, we still got a lot of football left to be
right.
played.
But that's why we're doing it. That's why I said I asked you guys to do it today. I didn't ask you to project. If we project, we would have done it last week, projected right. the rest of the year, not done it anymore. Right. Why would we do it every week
because
if we're
the season
projecting?
Doesn't end today. The season doesn't end
right,
today.
Right, but the whole point is to look back and have fun with it every week. Have a little fun, Willie, and look back at how it changed week to week. If we're projecting, we do it last week and we project the rest of the year and we're done with it. Like, we're done with it. There's no reason to do it every week.
No, that's the beauty of it. We're not done with it. We got a long way to go. Things do change every week.
Yeah, but some things will be a little bit easier if you're trying to project as a living in the moment. I mean, living in the moment, you know you can speak, this is what's happened, right? Rather than trying to project and say, this is what could happen.
Right. I reserve the right to have my own brain do it my way.
Okay, but
you do it your way.
That's not what I. If I was a teacher, that I would look at you and say, "But that's not what I. That's not the assignment."
No, right? I am doing it your way.
You're like, but teacher, I want to do it my way, and I'm like, well, that's not the assignment though. The assignment was today.
No, your assignment was the best teams, the best 10 teams in the NFL
today.
Yeah,
today.
That's what I say.
Today. Okay. All right. By the way,
I'll roll with my 10. You roll with your 10.
I got it right here in front of me.
Yeah,
I'm
in pen. Mine are in pen.
Oh, yours are in pen.
Yeah. I have Sharpie.
Oh, Sharpie. Okay.
Yes, mine are in Sharpie.
Okay. Also, another historical moment last night, a all-black officiating crew, which I thought was really cool on Monday Night Football. I thought it was a really good game, a well-officiated game. I thought they did a really good job, and a historical moment in the NFL.
And they had some tricky plays, right?
They sure did.
They had some, Tom Brady in the end zone. Was his arm going
forward? What did you think?
Oh, man, that was close.
That was.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I've always – remember the game a couple years ago against the Dolphins? It was when Mike Mularkey was still the coach. It was the Matt Castle game. They lost the game to a bad Dolphins team where Adam Gase and Jay Cutler – it was a bad Dolphins team. And the Titans lost. They had everybody hurt, including Mariota. And there was the key play in the game. I think the final score was like 10-7 or 13-10 or something. But
what year was this?
This was 2017. And Matt Castle was starting in Miami, and he got
16-10.
Yeah, and so Matt Castle is strip sacked from behind. The ball goes about 20 yards forward, and they rule it a fumble. The guy picks it up and go. Everybody on the field stopped. The Dolphins pick it up and go in for a touchdown. And that was the game. And I made the point that night. I was like, if the ball goes like 20 yards forward, I don't know how you can argue that it's not a forward pass when the ball gets launched.
I do remember that conversation.
We had a very heated discussion about it. It was you, me, and Derek at the time.
Yep.
And you guys thought I was nuts. But, there was one in the Colts-Packers game, a very critical call, where Phillip Rivers had one, and he sort of just kept his fingers on the ball enough to sort of spiral it forward. And they did deem that his arm was going forward. But the one last night, it looked like the ball was completely loose from Brady's hands. And he does sort of get it forward a little bit. But I just do think that at times there's an inconsistency to it. And with the way the replay goes, they have a tendency to let it go, let it play out, and then go back and look. Because going the other way doesn't work. Remember, there have been times where a team has picked it up and gone all the way, but you can't review it. So it's a tricky call. So the officiating crew did a good job on that one. The other one that they had was, remember, Tom Brady threw the ball and it got batted back to him and he threw it again?
Yep.
I did know that rule, but that was one definitely where you had to dig down in the rule book. You can't do it. You can't have a ball batted back to you and then throw it
again.
That's
why Mariota took off in that playoff game.
Right, he scored a touchdown
thing.
On that. Yeah, he did the smart thing. He couldn't throw it again.
Right, that was smart. Like, he actually, I would assume, he knew the rules and said, well, I can't throw it, so I better run. I better run for my life, and he did.
And Brady didn't, I guess he didn't know the rule.
Well, I don't know if he didn't know the rule. He said, forget that. I'm not running on these guys.
Hot potato.
Aaron Donald's right there. I'm not running.
Yeah, just go down.
He's like, I'll take the penalty. Are you kidding? By the way, they didn't get the first down on the throw anyway. So it was, I think that was a third down.
Well, I guess they declined the penalty. That was an interesting one to me. I would have thought that the play's dead once he throws it. Like, from the place he throws a second pass, the play should be dead. But I think they gave them the yards on the pass and declined the penalty because they didn't make the first down. So that was weird to me.
Yeah,
because they were like blowing the whistle as the ball was being caught. Like, you saw, they didn't even tackle Mike Evans, right? Mike Evans was like stopping. They're like, no, you can't do that. But I thought they gave them the yardage on that. I was a little confused. Nobody really explained it. It's something that rarely happens, but it does happen every now and then. All the Titans fans were going, "Hey, I saw Mariota do that, and he actually scored."
Yeah,
that was a huge play.
Well, you can take off running. You just can't throw.
Yes,
it again.
You can take off running. But you cannot throw it again.
Yep. I do remember that that Miami game. That was coming off that disastrous game in Houston. Remember? Where they got drilled by the Texans. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't Texas the Texans hang like 60 on them or 57?
Well, Mariota got hurt. He pulled his hamstring, and yep. he wasn't the same really the rest of the year. But for the next month, he couldn't move. Remember, and they started Castle the next game.
Yep.
And then the next couple of games, Mariota did a very good job of playing without running for the most part. Like he couldn't move, but he just stood in the pocket. And
that's the game where he beat the Colts. Yeah, and he couldn't move.
Because I think they came to the conclusion, and this was your crusade for a long time. Why in the world do they still have Matt Castle as the quarterback? And they found out that day. I mean, Matt Castle could not win a game.
Nope. All right, we'll come back.
Against the bad Dolphins team, but they still should have eked it out because I thought that was a terrible call in that game with the arm going forward. Boom.
Well, that did create quite the discussion piece on our show on that Monday. All right, we'll come back. Alan Bell from CBS Sportsline. We'll have a good discussion with him on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Becker on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Bluto Juke Joint, smoother than smooth on this Tuesday morning. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe has the day off. Let's bring in our buddy Alan Bell. We'll always enjoy our chats with him with CBS Sportsline. Alan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Y'all doing all right?
We're doing fantastic. I want to get into a little gambling stuff before we get into the NFL stuff.
Yep.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts. And I know there was probably very few people that saw this. And maybe they saw it after it was going crazy on Twitter Friday night and the reaction afterwards. But I did have money on Minnesota on the money line Friday night against Purdue. Now, my bet was not affected. But waking up Saturday morning and realize one sports book gave everybody who bet on Purdue their money back because of the horrific offensive pass interference call. I'm just going to start there. Is that standard operating procedures? I've never heard of that before. Why would they even do that? It's not like they're in charge of officiating. It's not their problem. Why did they feel the need? Was it for publicity? Why did they feel the need to give people who bet on Purdue, Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers, their money back?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer simply is this. It's good marketing. It's good PR, right? So especially if you're in a state, now they did this, you know, across the country. But if you're in a state, you know, like Tennessee, Colorado, Illinois, Pennsylvania, you know, that is new, you know, with sports wagering, it's a great PR move. And think about it like this. So if they refund all of that money, and let's just put a number, and I don't know what the number is, but let's just put a number, let's say, they refunded $1 million.
Okay.
All right. They know when they refund that, $750,000 of that is going right back into another bet. Right.
Sure.
So I mean, so they're going to take half of that, you know, right out of the gate. So that money's going to come back. It's a smart move. Now, not everyone can afford to do it, you know, and that's where you're going to see the difference between, you know, say, you know, the smaller kind of local, you know, sports books, you know, around like say Tennessee or Colorado or whatever, and the big boys, you know, like a FanDuel, a DraftKings, et cetera, companies like that, because they can afford to do it, because they know that money's going to come right back to them. People aren't just going to withdraw that money. So it's certainly not, you know, a precedented move, but it's pretty smart from a PR perspective if you can afford to do it.
Yeah. Is that the same? And I endorse DraftKings on this radio show, and I think it was FanDuel that gave them back. But,
yep.
You know, you're seeing DraftKings and FanDuel and even BetMGM put out these, you know, odds boost or prop bets that are, you know, are pretty much no-brainers, and they're basically giving you $50 or $100. I think $100 is the max that I've seen. And a lot of people wonder, like, why do they do that? Is it the same concept? It's just to get you involved. It's to get you on their site. It's to so they give you $50, so they give you $100. Well, guess what? They know, what are you going to do, Alan, with those winnings? You're going right back in there and you're going to place more bets, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's part that, and two, you know what, these sports books, when they come in, the phrase is FTD, first time deposit. So that is everything to a sports book, and really all that is We want to get you to sign up with our site and put money into your account, because they know that once you do that, you know, you're going to continue to bet and you're going to continue to play. And over, you know, the longer period of time, they're going to make money off of it, right? So that's why they give those out. And again, you know, it's a smart play. So you notice, you know, when they do that, it's held to within just a state, and it's generally, you know, one of the big popular teams. So that's why you saw Vanderbilt first. That's why you saw Tennessee the next week. You know, that's why they do these things. And it makes sense because, again, it's just good PR. And they know that money, once they get it in there, at some point they're going to get it. They're going to get a nice chunk of it back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, I love Bad Beats on Mondays on SportsCenter with SVP. I mean, it just that is must-watch TV for me because you know they're going to do a lot of obscure games like you never would have known that happened, and then you watch it and you're like, oh my gosh, like Abilene Christian last night. It was like, are you kidding me? I guess, what was it, Boise State? I don't remember who they were playing, but anyway.
It's a brilliant – let me say this. It's brilliant because this. Everybody who wagers on sports, you either fall in one category when you see those bad beats. You are so thankful that you are on the other side, or you get to kind of be in misery with everyone else who had that. It's a brilliant segment, and it's one of the best things out of many that SVP does.
Yeah, 100% true what you just said. And so one of them that I want to talk about, because there has been, since now it's legal here in Tennessee and people are following this stuff closely, and a lot of our listeners are going to DraftKings and, you know, BetMGM and FanDuel, and because we're talking about it on this radio station, and they're participating like we are, so you're paying closer attention. And we had the Arizona, right, the Hail Mary from Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, and they didn't go, the line's 2.5, and they didn't kick the extra point, and it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I mean, that sways a bet. How about the Cincinnati one? If people didn't watch, and you should, because it was a really good game, Cincinnati and UCF on Saturday, Alan, where Cincinnati, the guy is going down, he's going in for a touchdown. They're up 3. The line is, what, 4.5, 5, depending on where you are. And there's a minute 40 to go, and he went out of bounds, and Cincinnati could not get it in the end zone, and they win by a field goal. And by the way, almost botched the final. The fourth down play was a direct snap, and it was a bad snap. And could you imagine if they did a scoop and score on that to end the game? Holy cow.
It would have been amazing. You know, and like that's what makes it so exciting. And it's funny, you know, like if we're watching games, say, you know, on Saturday of college or, you know, NFL on Sunday, and, you know, you've got Twitter up or you know, Facebook or whatever that you use, and you're kind of watching along. Like, people are watching two different games. You've got people who are just watching the game, and then everyone who's gambling on games, they're watching something completely different. Like, it makes it so exciting, and especially, like you just mentioned, those two, you know, when it comes down to a last minute, last 2 minutes, shoot, the Arizona game when it came down to the last second. I mean, it just makes these finishes just so wild. And it's awesome because you watch more, you know, you consume more. And I'll say this, that's why these sports leagues, you know, the NFL finally come around. That's why they're even, you know, somewhat barely acknowledging it, because it brings in ratings and viewership like no other. It's a billion-dollar business, and it's finally here.
No doubt about it. All right, last thing on my end before I flip it to Willie, and he'll get into a bunch of NFL stuff with you. How has all of this changed what you do and what you guys do at CBS? Because obviously you guys don't ignore the gambling element on Sportsline. So you guys are heavily involved in that aspect, always making picks. How much, and I'm sure that, you know, and I see it, people always asking you, you know, what do you think about this game, or what about this? People, you know, giving you their winning ticket. By the way, I wonder how many of those people ever send you their losing tickets as well, or is it just always the winning ticket? But how has all of this legalized gambling in states, including the one you live in, changed your approach on Sportsline?
Well, I'll say this. They send me the losing pick or the losing slips when I send them a bad pick. I'll tell you that. I see those. No, I mean, it's been awesome. I'll say this. Obviously, it's been great for us, you know, from that perspective, just because so many people did it, but it was kind of a taboo thing, right? And, you know, some people would talk about it out loud. A lot of people really wouldn't, but it was still going on. you know, and now that it's out in the mainstream, you know, it's just so much more of a conversation to be had. And there's so many more conversations and content, you know, that you could put around it that people really enjoy, because there's some people, you know, who wager on sports and have for a while that don't even, you know, they don't have a favorite team. They really don't, you know, consume the NFL or college football, you know, by one singular team. You know, they just bet on sports. So it finally gives a home to a lot of people, you know, in regard to that. Plus, you know, even if you're not, you know, a sports bettor, if you've never placed a bet, you don't plan to either. You at least get to see another side of the information, right, of how, you know, teams play on the road, how teams play as a favorite, how they, you know, operate as an underdog. So even if you're not betting, you know, whatsoever, it's more information that you can kind of consume about your team. And you see little trends and things going on that you might not have, you know, paid attention to or considered if sports betting wasn't, you know, out in the forefront.
Talking to Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline, always a fun conversation. Alan, I'm curious, yesterday when we were on the show, we were talking about Vanderbilt and Tennessee and what a crazy game this could be. Vanderbilt's playing a little bit better. Tennessee is slumping, but they still are a heavy favorite. And then, boom, the game is moved, and it's a totally different outlook for this week, different games. I'm curious, for people that maybe made a wager on Vanderbilt-Tennessee yesterday, what happens? Because that line could be completely different. We don't even know if they're going to play. And if they do, there could be a completely different set of circumstances.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what will happen when a game is postponed? Your sportsbook will refund your bet. They'll just put the money back in your account because, exactly like you said, that line, that spread is going to come off the board, and they'll put it back up, you know, in the game week whenever that game does get rescheduled. So great question there. They'll just refund you on that. And I'll say this. It was funny watching it, you know, the line when it came out, because it opens as Tennessee as an 11-point favorite, and everyone, mostly Tennessee fans, were like, yeah, I'm betting Vandy on this one. And then somehow, you know, a lot of money came in on Tennessee, and the line moved from, you know, an 11-point favorite to a 12-point favorite, and then everyone was jumping on Vanderbilt, and then obviously the game gets postponed. But, yeah, they'll just refund your money and then open it back up when the game gets rescheduled.
Yeah, hopefully they're able to play that game. So, Alan, let's look at the rematch between the Titans and the Colts. What are you seeing differently? As you know, it hasn't been too long since they played, and the Titans coming off a big win, the Colts coming off a big win.
Yeah. So, you know, let's take a look at this past Sunday, right? So the Titans are down 21-10 to the Ravens, go on a 20-3 run to beat Baltimore in overtime. Okay. The Colts are down 28-14 to the Packers. They go on a 20-3 run to beat the Packers in overtime, and now we get these two teams. So they're pretty evenly matched. Now, the Titans obviously have some injury issues coming into this game. You know, their offensive line, their linebacker position, and the Colts are pretty much the same team that we saw, you know, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, the Colts are going to be they've obviously opened as a 3.5-point favorite. The line will probably stay around there for somewhere like that. But here's the thing. With this Titans team, especially under Mike Vrabel, they operate completely differently when they're underdogs compared to when they're favorites. There's something about Mike Vrabel's attitude. When they're an underdog, we saw it in Baltimore. Like, they want to fight. They just pick up that attitude. And it's funny because not only when they're underdogs do they usually cover, they usually win outright. It's crazy. So I think we're going to see a different game this time around. The Titans love playing with their backs against the wall. And essentially the division's on the line. So we'll see. I mean, it's tough to beat the Colts, obviously. They just don't beat themselves. But you know what? I might ride with the Titans on this one because, again, they're just a different team when their backs are against the wall.
Darren and I, the last couple of weeks, we've been doing our weekly top 10. And, of course, everybody's stock goes up and down. And it's interesting, Alan, you follow this. You know, you can go and make a prop bet. You can grab a team that maybe stock is down in the moment. But you think, you know, if they can turn it back around the right way, and by the end of the year you have a great pick to win a Super Bowl. So along those lines, right now, if you were to pick a team that stock is low right now and you could get a pretty good deal on to win the Super Bowl, who would it be?
Man, that's an excellent question. So we're going to start, obviously, that, you know, the teams who you think that, you know, are the favorites are going to be up there. You know, your Steelers, your Chiefs, you know, your Saints, et cetera, teams like that. Here are the teams to kind of pay attention to that might not be getting talked about right now. The Arizona Cardinals, and I know that sounds crazy, but there's something about this team that their defense, first off, is one of the best defenses in the NFL in terms of points allowed. They just do not allow you to get points whatsoever. And two, even though their play calling is a little crazy, Kyler Murray is he's a freak. I mean, this guy literally, we all know he's fast. It's how fast he gets to top speed. He literally goes from, you know, first gear to fifth gear in a second. So that's a team to kind of watch out for, because they could make some noise in that NFC West, and they could be a team like the Titans last year, who you think's pretty good, and then they get in the playoffs, they get a couple, you know, favorable matchups, and you look up and they're making a run, right? So I think that's a team to, you know, to pay attention to. And then, you know, again, beyond that, I mean, you know, look at the Buffalo Bills, obviously, because again, they play good defense. Josh Allen can light you up. Brian Daboll's calling much better offense up there. But the hard part is this, is that we could say all those teams all we want. Who's going to take out the Chiefs, right? Like, it's just, that's really the question in the NFL. And I know the Steelers are undefeated and they're a fantastic football team, but who is going to be able to take out the Chiefs? Because they could play defense with you and they could score faster than any other team in the NFL. And that's really the question. But long story short, Arizona would be the team that would fit that category. I just kind of like what they're doing.
I like that pick. And, you know, another thing I thought about when I came up with the question, and these are all things that had my wheels spinning as we're putting together our top 10, or at least I'm putting mine together to compare with Darren's here.
Yeah.
You got the NFC that, you know, it's a pretty sure bet that the Cardinals, as you mentioned, are going to be in the playoffs, because there's a drop off, right? They'd have to really collapse to not be in the tournament. And the same is true in the AFC. Even though the Bills may not be a sexy pick, or you think maybe they're not a great team, their chances of winning the division, at least being in the tournament, are really good right now. So that's something you probably want to factor in if you're taking a whatever a team is, 33-1 or 20-1 or whatever. You have to look at, okay, what are their chances of making sure that you got to be in the tournament to have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
100%, right? That's exactly it. Like, you know, these find the teams that are going to make the playoffs, and those two absolutely are. You know, and again, you know, like you said, you know, you've got to make the tournament. But once you get in, you know, crazy things can happen. And we see it every single year. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, the eight teams that make the divisional round, generally only three, you know, made it, you know, from the year before. When you get to the AFC, NFC championship round, generally only one team from the year before makes it back, right? So what we see in the NFL, you get a lot of turnover. And you wouldn't think it, because kind of the, you know, the same teams, it seems like, always kind of win the Super Bowl. But it's just about getting yourself a shot and getting yourself in there. So, yeah, 100% agree on that. And those two teams, they have an excellent, excellent shot to do it. They basically just don't mess it up. If they just continue on their path, they're going to be in there for sure.
Alan, I brought this up with Trey Wingo yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up with Tim Hasselbeck tomorrow. And I want to run it by you, because kind of this is going back to – what we were first talking about with prop bets, which, by the way, I don't, you know, I had a loser too, but over 5.5 catches for Cooper Kupp, I've never had one hit that quick. He had five catches. It was over 5.5. He had five catches on the first drive. I thought he was literally going to hit it on the first drive of the game.
Yeah.
I've never had a prop bet hit that good. I also had Gronk over, was it 32.5 or whatever, and I didn't
hit on that. How crazy was it, too, that Robert Woods ended up with more catches than Kupp?
I know. Crazy.
When Kupp had almost, what, he only had almost double digits at halftime.
11,
right?
I think. Kupp had 12, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So I want to ask you, Patrick Mahomes, I know, I'm going to acknowledge, he's still the favorite, I get it. There's been a lot of Russell Wilson talk. There's been a lot of Kyler Murray. I mean, fill in the blank of people that to this point been throwing out there for MVP. And I brought this up yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up with you. Why is it that no one, and that's a segment we used to do on the show for a long time, why is it? Why is it that no one is talking about Ben Roethlisberger for MVP?
It's an excellent question.
Nobody brings him up.
I know. And you know, look at this team, right? So first off, it's because people think the defense, right? When they think about the Steelers, they're going to think about the defense, and rightfully so. It's arguably the best defense in the NFL. But what people aren't noticing about Ben Roethlisberger is, one, how incredibly efficient the guy is. Two, how diverse that offense is. Go back to that Steelers-Titans game. In the first half, you know, when the Steelers jumped out to that big lead, they had 9 or 10 different guys touch the ball, and Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, they get the ball around that offense incredibly well. And three, He's getting the ball out faster than we've ever seen in his NFL career. I mean, he is literally getting the snap, and he knows where to go. Boom, drops it out, and they're gone, right? So, you know, that's the hard part for him is that, you know, it's not sexy. It's not flashy, right? Like, we see Aaron Rodgers throwing off 1 foot 50 yards. We see Patrick Mahomes obviously doing his thing. We see Russell Wilson doing his thing. Well, Ben is not that, right? Like, it's just not, you know, something that's going to make a ton of highlights, you know, across Twitter and across, you know, SportsCenter, et cetera, things like that. But it's getting the job done. So I completely agree with you. He should be in way more conversations than he is. Unfortunately, you know, we just live in, you know, a world that has about an 8 second, you know, attention span. And in that eight seconds, yeah.
I'm with you, Alan. I think you nailed it.
You guys get it. Yeah.
Yes, I think you nailed it. And that's why I'm bringing this stuff up. Like, okay, I get it. Kyler Murray's fun to watch, and Mahomes goes without saying, and Russell Wilson is a pro's pro and a future Hall of Famer. I get it. But here's my case for him. It's not like Ben Roethlisberger has pedestrian numbers this year. He's got 24 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions and over 2,500 yards passing. And here's my last case on him. We've seen Pittsburgh without Big Ben. Did you see it last year? How'd that product look like without him? And now here they are with him, and they're 10-0, and they're rolling. And they've got a real shot to finish 16-0, 15-1, maybe 14-2.
Yep, 100%, man. I mean, he is incredibly efficient and having a wonderful season. You nailed it. I agree with you 100%.
Alan, really appreciate the visit. As always, you have a great Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you soon.
Man, you guys too. Thank you so much for having me on, and talk to y'all soon, man.
Yeah, it's always fun talking to Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. He is a fun guy to follow on Twitter as well. You should do that. It's free and easy to do, at Alan Bell 247. If you're into the wagering, now that it's legal in this state, and this is our first month of it being legal, Alan's always got good stuff up on that as well. We will come back more during this first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll talk to Taylor Twellman to kick off the second hour of the program. Nashville SC back at it, back on the pitch up in Toronto. The 5 o'clock game, heard on 94.9, and we'll talk about him. He's the MLS analyst for ESPN. We always enjoy talking with Taylor. He's full of personality. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports at High Noon. Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach at 1 o'clock. Mitch Light from The Athletic, talking all things college football at 1:15.
Is the game at Toronto? I know all the Toronto teams have not being able to play. So they're playing at UConn, is that right? East Hartford, Connecticut is where that game is.
Yeah, okay. I guess I shouldn't say that. You're right.
They're playing Toronto. But as we know, the Toronto teams can't play in Toronto. If they did, they wouldn't have anybody to play against.
That's a very good point. I guess you're right. It's considered a home game for them. Obviously, they're not playing in Toronto.
Yeah, they're playing at Rentschler Field, East Hartford, Connecticut, home to UConn football.
Okay.
So if you've ever watched the game at UConn, that's where they're playing.
Are they going to have fans?
Good question. I do not know the answer to that.
Because I heard Nashville SC, about 3,500 on Friday night, and I heard it was a really good atmosphere considering that, you know, normally it would have been, you know, an incredible atmosphere. I mean, I would have loved to have seen it if it was under normal conditions, but I heard the 3,500 were loud and proud.
Yeah, it looked good. You know, they do their thing. We know those, as they call themselves, the supporters, you know, they had the scarves and they were banging the drums and they were doing their thing. They've always had a great identity going back to the USL days, right, when they really built the foundation. So I thought it looked great under the circumstances, and obviously they played great. So we'll talk to Taylor about it. He had the call, right? He did the game. He was not in Nashville, I don't think. They were in a studio calling the game, but
yeah.
He had some great things to say about Nashville. It really caught my attention, so I'm looking forward to talking to him.
As they beat Miami on Friday. Did want to pass this along, our NFL Game of the Week, which should not be the NFL Game of the Week. It should be the Sunday Night Football Game of the Week, but I digress. Great matchup, Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How about that? Coverage begins at 3 o'clock, kickoff at 3:25. So you can hear that right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And that is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. And the reason I bring that up is the Sunday night game is the Bears and Packers. I mean, opt out. The Bears do not belong. They belong on the alternate channel. Okay, whatever. So Fox, that game is on. I mean, NBC. They should be on. Not even NBC Sports Network. Well, another alternate channel for NBC. That's where the Bears should be put. That should not be the Sunday night game. Chiefs, Bucks. That should be the Sunday night game. That's just my opinion.
Yeah,
that's a much more favorable matchup.
You can't have all the best games, I guess, if you're NBC. They've had some pretty good games.
Well, but no, they usually do. But I thought Sunday night was supposed to be the game. Right, Sunday Night Football is traditionally Monday Night Football games. Like last night was really good. Like that's a good matchup. A lot of times on Monday night, it's like, oh great, oh, Jets and Broncos, fantastic. You know, Jets Patriots this year. Great.
I feel like the you know, if you take the combination of Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, we've had a pretty good draw in terms of lack of duds. I think there's been. Even if the matchup itself isn't great, the game has been pretty good. So I think the balance of that, I have found myself watching more of those games than I have before. I knew I would, but the game has kept my attention, right? If it's a bad game, even if it's a good matchup, I'm not going to watch. But there's been some really exciting games. Like last night was just a great game from start to finish.
Yep.
Sunday night's game was a great game. I'm trying to think of what was last Thursday. Of course, the Thursday before was Titans-Colts. We know we were watching that, but wasn't last Thursday a good game, too? I'm trying to remember.
Seahawks-Cardinals, yeah.
Great game.
Sure.
Great game.
Yeah,
it kept your attention from start to finish. So they've had some good games. So every now and then you're going to get a dud. You know, we know that the Bears have not been exciting to watch.
No.
In fact, they've been hard to watch.
No, they've been impossible to
watch. In an era where you know, most offenses bring something to the table, right now that's just their thing. They just can't do it.
They're pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And I heard Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road because he starts the final hour on Tuesdays. And if you haven't listened to him, he's really good. I think he's must-listen-to radio. And I agree with him 100%. He said it is time to kick Detroit off Thanksgiving Day. And I agree 100%. I have felt that way for a long time. Why do they keep putting on this dysfunctional organization on Thanksgiving Day to kick off our wonderful day on Thursday every year? Why do we get stuck with the painful watch of watching the Lions? I get, you know, okay, tradition. Well, there's a lot of traditions that come and go. Like nothing, if you listen to the show, nothing stays the same, okay? And that should not stay the same. Like that needs to go away. I agree with him 100%. Why do we keep getting this painful product that is the Detroit Lions? Again, they start off our Thanksgiving Day.
Have to deal with it, man. If you want to eat, maybe just eat during that time. You don't have to watch it.
Nobody's eating at 11:30 in the morning.
You could if you want to.
I mean, I guess.
You could eat it, you know, you could eat at 1 during the second
but
half.
What is the time when everybody's normally eating?
I think it varies.
I know. That's what I'm asking you. When will you guys have the big sit down?
Oh, jeez. Maybe. I'm trying to think. 2 o'clock?
Sounds about right. Which is usually, like, I kind of feel like it's more in between the first game and the second game, right? Like, more like 2:30. Somewhere between 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
think,
typically
think,
between
yeah, no hard, no
the
hard,
first game and
fast
the second
time,
game.
But, yeah, I would say in that range. Towards the end of the first game, start of the second game.
Yeah. Yeah, and wouldn't it be cool if it was a really good game in the first game? And, you know, we would have to watch, but typically it's not. Remember when the Titans played the Lions on Thanksgiving up there? Gosh, they just, I mean, destroyed Detroit. What was that, 08? Or
that was the year they started 10-0, so that was 08.
Yeah, that's right. They beat them 47-10.
The Dave Ball interception touchdown.
Nice. Nice pull. Dave Ball. Know your balls.
Great character of the game, Dave Ball.
Well done.
Once had a show on the early days of 102.5 The Game, if you remember.
He sure did.
I mean, he was a live wire. He's a great guy to talk to. If you ever talk football with Dave, he is fun.
Let's just say he was different.
Definitely different.
He was a fun guy, but he was different. He was different. What is Dave Ball doing? How many people know? By the way, Nate on Twitter says sometime between 2 and 4. That's a pretty big window. Said maybe do breakfast. And well, no, but I stay away from breakfast. Like on Thanksgiving Day, like Thursday, I'm not eating until
you try to starve yourself.
Yeah, because I don't want to be miserable. You know, I just don't want to be miserable. That's the worst feeling. And I know if you're miserable, just go lay down, start watching a game, and fall asleep. But it's like, I'm going to try not to be miserable. And if I eat breakfast and then that meal, yeah, I'm going to be miserable. That's me. So I stay away from breakfast.
I don't know of anyone that eats a breakfast before Thanksgiving, usually.
Like, don't you have to kind of, like, make yourself not do it?
Oh, no, you have to coach yourself not to do it.
Just yeah.
Because, like you said, you're going to be miserable if you don't. And if you don't go all out during the Thanksgiving meal, you didn't do it correctly. It's the one meal that you can do that.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, don't lay off. You know, I mean, I don't want to lay off on Thanksgiving. Like, oh, I had breakfast, so I'm going to, you know, be a little bit careful here on how much I eat. No.
Gluttony's the whole point. Yeah, gluttony's the whole point of this holiday here. I mean, that's why you got to be able to get yourself ready for the moment. And if you don't prepare adequately, then that's on you.
But I say do it on an empty stomach, you know?
Have to. That's the only way I can do it, at least. And my family, usually it was always at noon. So we're eating right when the Lions start, which
okay,
is usually
so
pretty
you do it
de-appetizing.
At noon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, of course, it's usually with grandparents. And they don't like to wait until about 1 or 2. So usually we're eating as the Lions are playing. And as de-appetizing as that can be, we still do it. Makes it a little more challenging, but that's usually how it is. And then you take your nap at the fourth quarter of that game. You wake up in time for the Cowboys and whoever.
Yeah, Cowboys and this year, FTs.
They do usually play a football team every year, but now this year it's the football team.
And now it's literally a football team.
That game's going to be huge. It's a huge game.
Yeah.
Two terrible teams, but it's a huge game. The winner is going to be in first place.
I know.
At 4-7.
It is. It is a monster game. The battle of 3-7s.
You got to love that.
Like, when's the last time you said, this is a monster game? Who is it? It's the battle of 3-7s?
Yep.
Monster game.
Playoff implications.
Right. When's the last time we've said that in the NFL? Whew. Thanks, 2020. Like, never until this year? And what a story it would be if Washington wins that division and Alex Smith is the guy under center, right, who got his first win. It's an incredible story. I know,
you know,
they keep having success, the story's going to get told a lot more. More people are going to be aware of, you know, his journey. And I'm sure a lot of sports fans already are, but there's a lot of people that still don't know Alex Smith's, you know, what happened and, you know, from where he was to where he is today and how, you know, he was supposed to never, ever, ever suit up and play the game again. And now he just won a game for Washington. And can you imagine if he won the division for FT and put him in the playoffs?
It's a great story. I wish I'd have asked Alan, you know, his breakdown of the four teams at this point, like favorites to win. Like, I will tell you, in The Athletic, I sent you guys this article. They have the probability to win the division. So here's what they have in The Athletic based on their rating system, which is like an analytic expected power rating. I have not really studied their formula very much, but what do you think they have right now? Percentage chance to win the NFC East of the four.
For Washington?
Who do you think has the highest percentage of the four?
Probably still Dallas.
I will tell you that it's pretty close across the boards. You say Dallas.
I'll say Dallas.
Dallas is, I'm doing the math here, third, 23.5%.
See, if it's Philadelphia, I'm going to just push back and say, no, it's not Philadelphia. Like, I keep watching them, waiting for them to do something, and they're not. They're just not that good.
Well, the other three are good?
Well, I know. Philadelphia is just – Carson Wentz, there's something wrong with him. I'm watching him, yeah. And there's something way off with him. I guess it's Philadelphia. The answer is Philadelphia.
30.6%, yes. So 30.6% for the Eagles, 25% for the Giants, 23.5% for the Cowboys, and 21% for the football team. So it's really anybody's race. It's very close. They have projected records of Eagles 5-10-1, football team 5-11, Giants 5-11, Cowboys 5-11. Now, can you imagine if it ends up like that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
A winning team at five, a winning division team at 5-10-1.
Like I said, thanks 2020. Yep. What would it be out of character to have something happen that's never happened before this year? Of course not.
Of course. Of course.
All right, we'll come back. Taylor Twellman, we'll switch gears, talk a little Nashville SC to kick off the second hour of the program. But right now, I want to talk to you about DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is going to give all players the opportunity, listen closely, to double your money if either Baltimore or Pittsburgh score a touchdown in Thursday night's game. We were just talking about Thanksgiving. There's a triple header. The last game, the nightcap is in Pittsburgh, Ravens, Steelers. And all you have to do to double your money is to get a touchdown. Just opt in to the promotion, place your bet, sit back, relax, enjoy the game, and once somebody scores a touchdown, you're a winner. On top of that, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new players a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up and get this incredible offer. Once again, that code 1025GAME during sign-up for a limited time only on DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.